Actually, maybe I need to wait for Riley.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'd like to bring the House Committee on Consumer Protection to order, please. It's Friday, May 4th, 2007. We've got some Senate bills to look at today, committee. And the first bill, I will open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 91. Steve, give us a little brief summary of why we're looking at this bill and what it is.
Thank you, Chair Hovey. Senate Bill 91 requires construction contractor to immediately notify the Construction Contractors Board of change in identity, name, or address of partners, joint venturers, owners, officers, managers, members, trustees, or other persons controlling contractor and of responsible managing individual for contractor. This bill was passed out of this committee unanimously. However, there were conflict amendments, which we did not have, so we pulled it back into committee. And before you today are the conflict amendments, which do not change policy, only conform that bill to another bill that was passed out of this committee, should they both become law.
And I have one person signed up to testify, Craig Smith.
Chair Holby, members of the committee, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. You will recall that this is the bill that ensures that business owners tell the Construction Contractors Board who they are if they change during the course of their licensure. It's important to make sure individuals that come on board to new licenses aren't folks that owe construction debts. And we had this law for partnerships and corporations. This extends it on to other business entities with particular interest to LLCs. LLCs are limited liability companies, are the kind of the soup du jour these days for new contractors. So this is the reason we brought the bill originally.
Thank you. Any questions for Craig on this bill?
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
I probably have a wrong definition, but when I looked at this, I thought, my gosh, I know I would forget my own business to a manager changed. What's going to happen to me if I forget to tell you that?
Chair Holby and Representative Nelson.
Managers, I mean, not partners. I could probably remember that much.
First thing we're going to do is we're going to train new licensees. We'll put this into our training to make sure that folks know. That's number one. But, of course, there's a lot of folks that are already licensees,
yeah.
And we'll put that into our newsletter. We'll do the best we possibly can. I don't see an enforcement penalty, you know, a big penalty push going on for the first couple of years, but eventually there may be a penalty here.
But we don't, excuse me, Mr. Chair, follow up?
Follow up.
But we don't need to put that in statute that you're going to kind of hold off.
Chair Holby, it's my testimony to you. It's my promise to you.
Okay, cool.
Craig, have you had a chance to look at these conflict amendments, the Dash 1 amendments, the Senate Bill 91-1, and are you comfortable that they don't change policy?
Chair Holby, I've got to say that I have not looked at those. I hesitate to say I'm comfortable, but knowing the quality of staff that you have and legislative counsel, I would imagine that's the case.
Okay. Thank you for that reassurance.
No, we're not.
Is there any other discussion from the committee on the Dash 1 amendment of this conflict amendment? I'm looking at it, and I'm not really seeing any substantive
changes.
Oh,
you're just holding your pen then?
Yeah. Changes.
No,
so
being
that we've already passed this bill out,
Mr. Chair,
too much time on it. But
I just want to ask, do they turn in their license? I mean, if a manager's leaving, does he have in his possession, he turns in his license to me, and I send it to the...
I'll call up Craig Smith.
Okay.
He's the CCB that should be addressing that, not me.
Okay.
Okay. Chair Holby and Representative Nelson, again, Craig Smith. As I heard the question, it was...
If they're leaving me... you know, my business, I'm the contractor. Do they turn in their license to me or their whatever to send to you.
Okay. Again, Chair Holvey and members of the committee. The answer would be no.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks again, Craig. Did you have a question?
No. I'm just trying to signal you that I'm actually okay with this bill.
Okay.
well, thank you. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 91 and open a work session on Senate Bill 91.
Chair, I move that we adopt the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 91.
Representative Bonamici moves we adopt the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 91. Any discussion? Any objection? The dash one amendments are adopted.
I have a procedural question. Do we need to move this again to the floor?
Yes, we do.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 91 as amended to the floor with the DUPAS recommendation.
Representative Bonamici moves Senate Bill 91 as amended to the floor with the DUPAS recommendation. Any discussion? Mr. Riley, would you please call the roll? And let's start off with Representative Gilliam today and come this way.
He's not here.
Excused.
Aye. Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Senate Bill 91 receiving the majority of votes declared passed. And I would like to close the work session on Senate Bill 91. And would anybody like to carry this on the floor? Or should we put it on
the... Was already carrying it.
Consent calendar.
Who is?
Representative Gerard was already carrying it, according to my notes. Yeah.
Representative Gerard, you carried it once.
I carried it all the way back here.
You carried it back? I don't know if that's a good sign. You want to try again?
It's a housekeekeeping bill.
That would be better this time.
I mean, we could put it on the consent calendar.
This bill. We could go on a consent calendar. I like that. I mean, you got about
half consent. I agree with that.
There's five bills, and all of these are probably qualified for that. But okay,
if you care. I think the people deserve the right to.
Okay, Representative Drog, would you carry this for me?
Oh, gladly.
Thank you, Representative Drog. Will carry Senate Bill 91. I'm going to skip on the agenda down to what's the next one? See what my agenda says. Senate Bill 95. So I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 95. Yeah, Steve, give us a little preview of what you know about this bill.
Thank you, Chair Holvey. Senate Bill 95 establishes a fee for issuance of initial home inspector certificates.
And could I have Mr. Smith again, please?
Chair Holvey and members of the committee.
Actually, Steve Telfer, you want to come up too and join Mr. Smith at the same time?
Where is the sheet? Chair Holvey and members of the committee, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. This is really a housekeeping measure. You know about the Construction Contractors Board and our efforts to regulate construction contractors. And about 10 years ago or so, we were also given the privilege to help with the home inspector program. These are the people that come to your existing home and check to make sure that it is still in good condition before you buy it. That's what we mean when we're talking about certified home inspectors. And during the course of regulating these folks, we had, of course, a statute that allowed us to do so. And we charged for both an application and a test and a certificate that we gave showing that the human being, the individual, had taken fairly exhaustive training and testing required for these individuals. While we were looking at the statute here about 2 years ago, we discovered that it appeared as though it did not have authority to charge for the initial certification. And so shortly thereafter, we stopped charging for that. In an effort to err on the side of making sure we weren't charging for something we weren't supposed to. This corrects what we believe was simply a mistake in the statute. allows the agency to charge for that initial certification.
Thank you. Mr. Telfer, would you identify yourself for the record for us and give us...
Mr. Chair, I'm Steve Telfer, members of the committee. I'm Steve Telfer. I represent the Oregon Real Estate Inspectors Association. Good bill, should pass. I'll keep it very short. We, of course, thought all along that the initial application fee was, in fact, statutory allowed until, as Craig said a couple of years ago, we looked at it and said, maybe there isn't authority. So this is simply a way of cleaning that up, and we're very much in favor of having that fee. And we also like the idea that it's a two-year setup, so we're not in there every year renewing it. So I would urge your passage of this bill.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Girard?
Actually, I have it for Steve. Who were the four no votes in the Senate?
I am not sure the answer to that question.
It looks like do either of you,
Chair Holby, members of the committee, I don't happen to have it directly with me.
And certainly you can have,
sometimes it's revealing,
your committee staff just go on to Measure History and print that out.
I realize that, but usually the other committees, they have that available for us right on the floor here.
Certainly should get on to our administrator.
Let me see if I can answer your question. I think I've got it right here. The nays were on the Senate floor were Atkinson, Beyer, Farioli, and Cruz. If you would like that information, if coming out of committee, there were no votes.
What were the no votes for?
Well, you have to go ask those individuals. I don't know.
No, I mean, if they were coming out of the committee, there were none. Why were there four if there were none?
On the floor.
On the floor.
Oh, it's been through. Oh, I see. Oh, sorry.
No.
Could I just ask this one question?
Representative Nelson.
Well, let me just ask you. I mean, this is really just the same. Okay, I thought I'm going crazy. It's all right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Oh, I got one.
Representative Gerard.
Is this actually a fee increase bill?
No.
Chair Holby and Representative Gerard, it's something we asked ourselves and talked to our advisors. I don't believe it's a fee increase bill. I think it's a clarification that the agency has authority to charge that fee. And as I said, for about 8 years we charged for the fee, and I wanted to make sure that you approved of it before we continued charging for it.
Okay. Only in your campaign literature from your opponents there will be a brand new fee increase.
That's right.
Representative Galizio, you're out of order. You haven't been recognized.
Oh, I apologize.
You called his name.
He's one of the terrible genies.
Man, it's getting tough. I have to censor all of you. Any other legitimate questions?
Oh, wow.
That leaves you out.
Bring the sugar.
Seeing none, thank you, gentlemen, for your testimony. With that, I'd close a public hearing on Senate Bill 95.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 95 to the floor with the do pass recommendation.
That would be great if you want to just wait until I open the work session.
Oh, after you open
I'd like to open a work session on Senate Bill 95. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 95 to the floor with the do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Nelson. Representative Nelson moves Senate Bill 95 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Mr. Riley, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Riley?
Yes.
Representative Galizio? I'm sorry. Representative Gilliam?
No.
No?
Representative Nelson?
Yes. It's the same bill.
Representative Galizio?
It's the same.
Aye.
Representative
Galizio?
Aye. Representative Girard?
No.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Gee, did we make it?
We did.
But Senate Bill 95, having received the majority votes, is declared passed.
No, you're going to have to help me understand your vote. You two. Okay. Thank you. Did Gerard turn your vote like that?
Did I close the work session on Senate Bill 95? Next up, I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 96A. I'll address it later, I guess.
Okay.
Just a moment, I'll close a public hearing on Senate Bill 96, and I need a carrier for Senate Bill 95. Carrier for Senate Bill? Representative Bonamici, thank you. We'll carry Senate Bill 95. I'll again reopen a public hearing on Senate Bill 96. I get me one of those agendas. Steve, give us a little preview of Senate Bill 96, please.
Thank you, Chair Holvey. Senate Bill 96A increases competency testing fees charged to applicants for home inspector certification.
Thank you. If I could have Craig Smith and Steve Telfer up again.
Chair Holvey and members of the committee, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. As I indicated, we at the Construction Contractors Board in the last matter, we do have this program. It involves about 400 to 500 individuals who qualify as certified home inspectors. One of the things that they have to do in order to be a qualified certified home inspector is they do take a rather extensive test. And since the mid-90s, the people who have been putting that test together are the Construction Contractors Board, together with a small group of home inspectors. During this period of time, the last 10 years, we've been getting complaints about the quality, frankly, of the test. There's some issues about whether the questions are appropriate, the answers are correct. There was very little startup money for this program, and as such, we've done the best we can, but we feel it's now time to move forward with having a better quality test. One of the things we looked at was the possibility of using a standard test, standard national tests that are used in other states. And to be frank with you, we thought that was certainly a viable option. That would cost about $225 per test to do that. And if I could draw your attention in the packet in front of you, on pages numbers 8 and 9, you'll see some other states, what they charge for these types of tests. And many of them do use the national test at a cost of over about $225. The industry in this state has taken a different tact, and they've convinced the Construction Contractors Board to look at trying to keep this in-house, looking to try to keep it an Oregon system, and it'll reduce cost. But we're looking at trying to raise a small amount of money, because only about 100 to 150 people a year take this test. We need to raise a little bit more money to get some professionals so we make sure the test is fair and accurate and appropriate for the applicants. So what this bill would do, it would take the initial $50 fee that goes back over 10 years now, and it would allow the agency to raise it up as high as $150. And there was a cap at that point. So that's what this bill would do, and we would appreciate your favorable consideration.
Representative Bonamici.
Committee Assistant, some of us did not receive the packet. We received an additional packet on Senate Bill 91, but we did not get the Senate Bill 96 information. So I wondered if there are additional copies
we did.
Of the 96.
This.
I got 91, too.
I think down at this end, we got, did you get 91?
I got 91.
We all got 91 down here.
We got both of them. I do. All pages.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this one can go back to Representative Riley. How are you doing? Thank you.
Chair Holvey, my apologies. I've obviously mixed up my handouts.
Okay, we got it straight now.
And I was just going to praise him today at how thorough he is.
That was so close.
You almost made it. I'll give you one more chance.
Again, drawing your attention on pages 8 and 9, that's the chart that shows the cost in other states.
Are there, Mr. Telfer, you want to go ahead and give us your testimony and we'll open it up for questions.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, again, Steve Telfer, representing Oregon Real Estate Inspectors Association. That association is about 125 members. Most of them are small, independent business owners and operators that provide home inspections by contract to home buyers. We are very much of the mind that Oregon standards, which, by the way, are very well developed and enforced through Oregon administrative rule, reflect the Northwest and the conditions of the Northwest. And one of the reasons our association is a bit opposed to a national test is that what might fly in Florida may not fly real well in Oregon. So we are very mindful of the fact that the funding is a little bit on the short side, so we're perfectly comfortable with this idea of a fee increase. And yes, this is a fee increase, but we are supportive of it as an association, provided that it has a cap of about $150, because we think that's reasonable. I might also add, just for the public record, our association has in its treasury a significant amount of money, which we're prepared to provide with an arm's length, so we're not involved directly in the transaction. But if CCB would like to get on with psychometric improvement of the testing, we're there to provide some non-for-profit funds to help with that process. In any event, that's a separate issue and is directly related to the legislation. If you have questions, I'd be happy to respond. Otherwise, I would urge your support of this bill and hope that we can move it out.
Mr. Telfer, you say you have 125 members. Did you have any of your members object to this fee going up?
No.
Representative Nelson.
Yes, Mr. Telfer, what is psychometric?
Chair Holvey, Representative Nelson, psychometric is a fancy lingo for test validation. Many tests that are used for employment purposes or other purposes have to have a whole host of different tests applied to it to make sure that it's valid and that it isn't discriminatory in any way and that the questions are, in fact, related to the jobs that are being performed. So that's what psychometric evaluation is.
So follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So do you review what's going to be on this test before Craig puts it together?
No, the test is strictly confidential. The current test has been developed over the years by the Home Inspector Advisory Committee, which is a subcomponent of the Construction Contractors Board. They meet from time to time, develop a list of questions that are related to the actual job of home inspections, and then it's crafted into a series of test questions, and then they're rotated, and that's all strictly confidential. Nobody gets to see it other than the HIAC committee that actually develops it.
Any other questions, Representative Galizio?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Smith. So, currently the testing fee is $50 and the application fee is $50. So under this bill, the testing fee would triple to $150. What happens to the application fee?
Chair Holvey and Representative Galizio, the application fee is used to review the application, make sure the person has the prerequisite amount of education. Frankly, it does take some time for that. The prerequisite education is on a point system that's published under rules, and that's what that fee is used for.
Follow up.
So we would, theoretically, you could triple the testing fee and the application fee would still remain at $50. Is that correct?
Representative Holvey, members of the committee, Representative Galizio, that's correct.
Okay. Another question?
Go ahead.
And currently the CCB administers and creates and administers the exam. Is that that's accurate?
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, that's correct.
Follow up. And it's been indicated you're not looking for a standardized exam. You want to create an Oregon-specific exam, perhaps not in conjunction with, but perhaps with some financial help from the association that represents the test takers. Is that accurate?
Well, Chair Holvey and Representative Galizio, we've not had any discussions with Mr. Telford's group. Although he's mentioned that in the past, there's no deal cut there. Frankly, if we do any contracting out, we're going to use the contracting law to do RFPs and do this in accordance with state purchasing laws.
Okay, last question.
Representative Galizio.
So, currently, do you have in mind any particular test making and administering groups, or is this we're supposed to just triple the fee and then hope that you're going to come up with some kind of plan?
Chair Holvey and members of the committee, on page number 6 in my handout to you, the page numbers are at the bottom. That is the about the third page of a memorandum from Gina Fox, who is the education manager for the Construction Contractors Board, to myself, who on March 1st put together the a problem statement of what the problem is, and I asked her to develop a plan so that policymakers could see where this money would be used for. And you can see what she's done here is she suggests the first step would be to consider a consultant. And the consultant might be as many as 80 hours. It might cost as much as $12,000 and so forth. So this is the plan that she came up with. Quite frankly, the larger fee requirement won't yield this kind of money. But this is what she's estimated the cost might be.
I suppose it just seems that it would be much less expensive to. Sure, Oregon is unique in so many ways, but it seems that you could get a national exam and tweak it yourselves for a lot less expensive now.
Chair Holvey and Representative Galizio, the one thing that appears to be rock solid is that a national exam would cost $225 per test. That's clear. And so this plan, and I want to be very, very straight, from an administrative standpoint, I would prefer going to the national test. I think it's cleaner. It's a little bit easier for me. I can give it to somebody else and let them worry about it. And I do worry about it because I want it to be fair. I don't want it to be a barrier to entry. I want it to be simply a good test. But, again, I think need to give credit to the industry. What the industry has said is we know about that test, Craig, and we don't like it. We think Oregon can do better, and we think Oregon could do better at a reduced cost of $150 per test. And I've got to give them credit.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome back, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, ma'am.
If the rationale for the increase is to develop a new test, what happens to the fee after the test is developed?
Question.
Chair Holvey and Representative Bonamici, the About 100 people take the test. We're talking about a $100 increase. That would raise about $10,000 for the initial test. To answer your question directly, it would take a while to raise enough funds to raise this $60,000 budget, if indeed that's what it was going to cost. Maybe as many as 6 years, if you're looking at the initial test of 100 people per year taking the test. But again, to get precisely to your question, if indeed the increased fees weren't needed to maintain the test, the board should reduce its fee, and that'd be my promise to you. If we didn't need the money, we'd reduce the fees.
Thank you.
Follow up.
I noticed in your materials that currently only 5 to 10% of the applicants pass the test the first time. Do they pay the same amount to take it a second and or third or fourth time?
Chair Holby, Representative Bonamici, they do pay the same amount to take the test, and that 10% indicates the amount of people that pass the four or five different sections all at one time. And many times the people who take the test pass perhaps three sections and not the fourth, and sometimes it takes them several times to pass all the sections of the test. As I say, one of my concerns, frankly, is that those test questions aren't as good as they ought to be. That's a fairly low passage rate.
Thank you. Very low. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. But you only take this test once, Mr. Tucker, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson.
You're certified.
I'm not a home inspector. I'm a contract lobbyist, so I haven't taken the test at all. But generally,
they take
it once to become a certified.
One time in their whole life?
Correct.
One driver's license kind of thing. No follow-up 10 years from now to see if I still ought to be inspecting because my eyesight might have gotten worse or something? My mind?
Chair Holby and Representative Nelson, there is no additional follow-up testing. There is continuing education required in this field.
Oh, there is.
Yes.
Any other questions? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you both for being here.
You have a question?
100?
Yes, thank you.
Give it out.
This is difficult sometimes for me to pull it all together. I'm sorry.
It's hard.
115 first-time applicants in 06, so as you said, about 100. And then 155 retakes. I missed the clarification on that. What's the fee in regards to the 155 retakes?
The fee is the same.
So that does that... Pull up, Mr. Chair.
Pull up.
Does that mean we had, 270?
Chair Holby, Representative Gilliam, that'd be correct.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
And what percentage of home inspectors does your association represent you in Oregon approximately?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gilliam, we have roughly 125 members, and my last recollection, and Mr. Smith can help us here, is that we have just a little over 400 certified inspectors, many of whom have been certified for a very long time. So we're just slightly less than a quarter of the total, well, a little over a quarter of the total. We are the largest association of home inspectors in terms of membership in the state. There are, as I recall, three or four other smallish associations.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Craig, is there a limit on the number of retakes?
Chair Holby and Representative Nelson, I do not believe there is a limit on the retakes. But I want to make sure I go back and check my rules, and I will write that answer and get it back to you.
Thank you.
So, Craig, how many real estate inspectors are there in the state of Oregon?
Chair Holby, there's 400 to 500 in that neighborhood.
4,500?
400 to 500.
Oh, okay, 400 to 500.
What's your neighborhood?
Have you, Craig, have you heard from any other associations on this particular piece of legislation?
Chair Holby, I have not heard anything from other associations on this in the last several, in the last year that I can think of. I've got to tell you, there are other associations from time to time. Other folks, in some cases not even members of associations, have different opinions and express those at what we call our Home Inspector Advisory Committee meetings. And it is a spirited bunch, a small bunch, but spirited, and there's diversity of opinion. And what I can tell you is that the folks that show up and spend their time the most belong to Mr. Telfer's group.
So would you know if these other associations or other inspectors somehow would have knowledge of this particular piece of legislation?
No. Yes, Chair Holvey, we're quite transparent on all of our legislative concepts, and they've been discussed in open meetings with the board and at our home inspector meetings. They should have notice of it. Yes, sir.
Do they have mailings that go out to these inspectors or anything to that degree?
Chair Holvey, if you're referring to mailers from the Construction Contractors Board, we mail a newsletter, in this case, to all construction contractors. Construction contractors are the ones, at least several hundred of them, employ these individuals to do the home inspections.
So would that mailing have gone out to those individuals who are licensed as inspectors under the CCB?
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, they would go to all of the construction contractors. In many cases, it's the same address. We don't send the mailers to the certified home inspectors. We send it to the construction contractors, and I can't tell you the percentage, but a large percentage, it's exactly the same person. So I can't tell you today that it went to every single home inspector who was certified with this agency.
And one more question. Are these inspectors required to be licensed?
Yeah.
As construction contractors?
Chair Holvey, the way it works is that no, they do not have to be licensed as construction contractors, but they can't perform home inspections themselves. It's a little bit like a plumber. You have to, if you're going to do the work, you've got to work for a company. The company you have to work for is a licensed construction contractor.
Okay. So to follow up with my own question then, you know, that the companies that these inspectors work for at least have gotten mailings in regards, and in those mailings at some point they've been notified of this particular piece of legislation.
Chair Holvey, that's correct.
Thank you. Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Not to belabor this, Mr. Chair, but it's going to be quite a while till we know if we've really got competent home inspectors. I mean, go wait for 500 or 400 of them to move away or decease or something. I mean, will everybody be required to take the new test?
Yeah.
I'm always curious because in our teaching profession, you know, they don't give us any relief. You know, new stuff, you got to come aboard.
Chair Holvey and Representative Nelson, I feel confident that the test today yields competent home inspectors.
Okay.
I really do. I think that the test tomorrow might be, from a governmental standpoint, a better quality test. And what I mean by that is a test that doesn't have questions that, I don't like to use the word tricky, but are improperly worded that may appear to be inconsistent or tricky. And so it's my feeling that you don't have to worry about the quality of home inspectors today, and tomorrow, if you choose to authorize this law, we'll have a better test.
Question?
Bonamici.
Is it a computer test or paper and pencil test?
Tricky.
Chair Holvey and Representative Bonamici, I only hesitate because when I looked at the test last, it was a paper test, and we used a card with holes punched in it to grade the test. And we have been working on some computerization plans, and I'm not sure we switched over to that. So I'd have to get that answer to you.
Curious. I don't know that it's relevant to the bill. I'm just curious.
Representative Galizio.
Relevant to the bill. I guarantee this is relevant to the bill. So it says in the document that you handed out that there are four states that administer their own test: New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Oregon. And so New York, their test cost is $50.
North Carolina, $75, and South Carolina, $80. This bill, we would have Oregon at $150 possible. So do we know what the application fees are for New York, North Carolina, and South Carolina? Because it looks like their testing fees are lower, or much lower than contemplated in this bill.
Chair Holvey and Representative Glazio, I do not know that.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen, for presenting us Senate Bill 96, and I'll close a public hearing on Senate Bill 96 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 192. Steve, give us a little preview of Senate Bill 192, would you please?
Thank you, Chair Holvey. Senate Bill 192 expands the list of building trade law violations qualifying as grounds for sanctions against construction contractor license. A construction contractor license.
And could we have Mark Long signed up to speak?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Mark Long, I'm Administrator of State Building Codes. This is a Building Codes Division pre-session filed bill to look at enhance our enforcement capacities for the folks that we license at Building Codes. This is a consumer protection bill. And to give you a sense of the folks that we're talking about, it's electricians, plumbers, folks that work on boilers and elevators. I hope I haven't left anybody out of the license types that I have. This is related to my department. This bill does a couple different things. It provides for better synergy between my organization, where I license. I have roughly 85 different license types. Most of them are inspectors, but primarily on the contractor side. And 42,000 individuals, and the Construction Contractors Board, who licenses general contractors. And you can see in the bill and my overview that it's going to allow us to work together closely in a better fashion than we have before, whereas if Craig takes an action at the CCB, we can then take an action for our licensees. If I take an action, he can take an action. We think that if a individual is a bad actor and has their license suspended, that it makes sense for two agencies to work closer together in addressing those problems. This bill also allows us to look at another state related to, again, electricians. I spend a lot of time talking to you about general contracting issues, so I'm making sure that we understand this is about my sphere of licensure, which is electrical, plumbing, boiler, and elevator. But in another state, Washington is an example, they license electricians up there. If they were to take an action and that individual was to decide, well, I'll go to Oregon, we could peek back into what happened in Washington and may not issue that license or take action against that licensee for violating Washington's law or any of the other states that issue electrical licenses. It also allows us to look at other issues that are related to a licensing violation. Earlier this year, I was presented with a unique situation where we had an electrical contractor who actually bypassed a particular citizen's electrical meter. And I think that that's a particularly egregious act. However, I don't particularly regulate or license that activity. But this bill would allow me to look at those kinds of issues and take action against that licensed electrician. Essentially, we had a licensed electrician do something outside the sphere of my licensing requirements, and I was unable to take action from a licensing standpoint. And I don't think it does the consumers any good to have a licensee essentially in good standing with building codes, but is violating construction-related activities out there. So this is a consensus bill that's been through the Senate Business Committee. I believe it was a 5-0 vote on the committee itself. Senator Larry George carried it for me on the floor, and I think we had a 26-0 vote on the Senate floor. It's also been ran through my Construction Policy Industry Advisory Committee, which is a makeup of the contractors I work with, local government inspectors, to vet the bill as part of our pre-session filing. I urge your yes vote on this bill. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Questions of Mr. Long?
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Assure us that most of our plumbers, electricians, elevator guys, and boiler guys are good guys, but that this goes after some bad actors. Please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gilliam, I think like a lot of things, most of the folks that I license are very good guys. They do great work. We have very high standards to get into that business, and this gives me permissive authority to go after those really egregious bad actors when they decide to, if you will, color outside the lines.
Follow up?
Just a follow-up to say that I think we've all, during testimony in this committee, been pretty surprised how easy it is for the, again, I'll use the bad apple or bad actor metaphor, to get back in, even when they've done something like you mentioned. So I'm in favor of this. I think it's it gives you another tool that you need to assure that we keep the majority of our folks honest.
Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. I don't, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm not convinced that I like this bill yet.
Okay.
If you convince me.
You bet.
Go.
All right. Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson. I'll go back through it. I'll do it. Let's talk about it. We'll just go on the first page, and I'll tell you what I'm trying to accomplish and what the problems are.
Okay,
on the first page under Section 1, what we're trying to do is work closer with the Construction Contractors Board. ORS 701-100 is the Construction Contractors Board licensing statute. And if let's say that we take an action. If I pull I revoke an electrician's license because they've done something egregious. And we have examples of that. I can talk to you about the little old lady who had electrical work and her house burned down. We think that's an egregious act.
I almost had that happen.
Fortunately, she wasn't hurt, but we wanted to revoke that individual's license. Okay. And so I take that action with my state agency. Craig still has licensure over in his shop, and we think that Craig ought to take action against that individual as well because we think that's particularly horrible. And so this allows us to work closer. That's Section 1.
Okay. Let me understand it. So This is double jeopardy.
No. Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, it's not double jeopardy. In Oregon, one thing that a lot of folks don't understand is that to do work, it takes two licenses.
Okay.
From a business standpoint, if you're going to issue a contract, do business with somebody, you have to be licensed by Craig's shop. Okay? If you do particular work, electrical, plumbing, you have to be licensed by my shop as a business license. So an electrical contractor actually in this state has two licenses, may have individual licenses, maybe three, et cetera, depending on the level of work that they do. We think that it doesn't make much sense for one state agency to say you're a particularly egregious or bad actor and then still be in good standing with another state agency, and I hope you support that.
So how are you going to know that these people have performed poorly in another state? Do you have reciprocal agreements with other states?
Mr. Chervis and Nelson, I have some. In my world, in the electrical plumbing world, it's a very small world, and you tend to find out. This gives me a permissive authority to look at it. I'm not going to tell you that I'll automatically know, but let's say that I do find out. State of Washington alerts me that they've revoked a license for a particularly bad act, and that person's coming to Oregon. It's pretty common for folks to do that. Coming to Oregon, they want to get a license here. If those folks let me know, then I can look at that and decide whether we think that person is particularly fit to work here in Oregon. And that's what I'm trying to get at.
So follow it real quick.
Follow
up. So is there a database on this? You could...
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, we have one. I'm not sure what Washington has, but again, because we have reciprocal agreements, we're a sister state, we try to make sure our standards are somewhat similar. Our staff, they talk to each other. Again, folks are pretty familiar with what goes on between the various states, at least on the western side, between Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and somewhat California.
One more, Representative Nelson.
Okay. Let's say you don't do something, one of these people, and they're here. You're really assuming a big liability if some creep, who sets that lady's house on fire comes here and does it again, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I suppose that could occur currently, and I wouldn't have any knowledge of it in the world today. What this bill allows me to do is take action against it, which I don't particularly have. I'd have to wait for the accident to occur here, and what I want to be able to do is, if I'm informed of a problem, be able to take action before a problem occurs. That's what this bill does.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Long. Just for clarification, the Construction Industry Policy Advisory Committee, do they support the bill or just not object to the bill? Or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bonamici, they don't take official positions like that. It's a consensus-based group, but it's been reviewed by them, and there's not any opposition that I'm aware of.
Thank
but
you.
We don't do up or downs.
Mr. Chair, I personally think this is a pretty good bill, but I would like to advise the committee and the people speaking before the committee that using the term bad actor, somebody on this board might take it real personal.
Using what?
So noted.
Bad actor?
Yeah, it's not a good term. Representative Buckley doesn't like it either. So bad apple. We have no apple farmers.
Regis Violator, I'll try that.
It's a joke.
Any other questions of Mr. Long? Thank you. Mr. Smith, do you have anything you'd like to add to this bill? It does sort of touch on construction contractors a bit.
Chair Holby and members of the committee, Craig Smith, I guess the only thing I'd add is that I think that it's vital for the plumbing board, the electrical board, building codes, the construction contractors board, and all the state government, including workers' comp and Bureau of Labor and Industries. All of us need to work together to make sure that the regulations that construction contractors are obligated to follow, they follow it. And if in my judgment, if a contractor can't follow one agency's rules, the likelihood is that they perhaps aren't going to be following the other agency's rules. And we need to work together and make sure that there's a level playing field for the folks, the vast majority of folks, that operate above board. So I fully support what Mark's doing here.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, gentlemen, for your testimony. Do we have anybody else signed up for this bill?
I think so.
With that, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 192A and open a work session on Senate Bill 192A.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 192A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonamici moves Senate Bill 192A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gilliam.
Mr. Chair, have you lost all patience with us yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, good. Because I just want to, again, go on record that I'll be supporting this bill, and I take no umbrage to the term bad actor. I have no reason to take umbrage. Thank you.
I didn't think you did, really. I was surprised.
That's because, obviously, the only acting Representative Gilliam does is good actor.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam.
Holy cow.
I got boots on.
Okay, my
she doesn't sit by him.
With that, Mr. Riley, I think we have a motion on the floor. Can you call the roll so I can end this?
Riley? He's not here.
Excuse.
He's acting.
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Wow. Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Gerard?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Senate Bill 192, having received the majority of votes, declare passed, and I'll close a work session on Senate Bill 192A.
I wanted to carry it.
Representative Nelson, would you like to carry this bill?
Yes.
Representative Nelson will carry the bill on the floor. With that, I'd like to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 94. Give us a little description of Senate Bill 94, please.
Senate Bill 94 revises terminology. Thank you, Chair Holby. Senate Bill 94 revises terminology pertaining to Construction Contractors Board dispute resolution. In particular, changes claim, the word claim and claimant to complaint and complainants.
This is kind of getting in Riley's plain talk area. I think
Chuck
we should
Riley
wait
though.
On that.
Craig Smith, please.
Chair Holby and members of the committee, it's Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board, and this really is, we think, a housekeeping measure. It's a simple measure that would change the word in our statute from claim in our dispute resolution process to complaint. And complainant when it refers to the individual. The reason for that is simple. We have used the word claim for almost 30 years, and quite often individuals come to our agency and they file that claim and they want that check, and they want that check now. And the reason for that is that we believe is they equate our process with that of an insurance claim. And we think that this word is more accurate with our dispute resolution program. We've been using it recently in some of our brochures. It's working fairly well, and we'd like your blessing.
Thank you. Questions from the committee on Senate Bill 94?
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Gilliam wanted to use the word whiner instead of complaint. Is that a friendly amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'm capable of speaking.
I haven't recognized Representative Galizio.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your wisdom.
I just before you.
Representative Nelson's finished. I'll continue.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Chair, is this common across the nation? I mean, are we all doing the same thing in other states? Move to change in terminology for legal reasons, I'm sure.
Chair Holby and Representative Nelson, it's a great question because most of the other state licensing boards don't do what Oregon does.
Oh.
And that is to try to have a process that's not unlike the court system, not unlike the civil court system, where people file against a contractor's license. There's access to a bond. It's a even, fair process. And the word complainant probably is more akin to something that one would file in court. And so the answer is no, the other states aren't doing it, but we think that it is a better term.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This seems like a good bill, but in an effort to be chosen as its carrier, I want to go on record as saying I hate it. That's how Representative Riley got to carry the last bill. So I just
want
to try that technique.
You could be absent would be better.
Do I have a legitimate question?
No.
From the committee?
No, vote it and let's go.
Thank you for your...
I'm curious. So
do you have a legitimate question?
I do.
Representative?
I really do. No. Well, I just always think it's amazing that we use such feminist terms as housekeeping.
Feminist terms?
Yeah. I mean, why is everything always a housekeeping? Why isn't it a barn sweeping or... something?
It's not germane to this bill.
It is. It's in the first line. Okay. Well, really.
Craig, I think we're done with you. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anybody else that wants to testify on Senate Bill 94? With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 94. And I'm going to adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection.
Well, now I get to vote on it?